Welcome to the Inside Circle podcast, where your host, Elder Jackson III, and his guests get personal about prison and transformation in all of its forms.
I keep reminding myself that I've got the key. And I'm the only one who can set me free.
This is Inside Circle, where your truth will set you free.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Inside Circle podcast. And today I have a very special guest. I have Mr. Zaire Yuri. He is a very special individual. He's a very inspirational individual. He is a part of what we call the YAE program, the Young Adult Empowerment Program that we have shaped and formed and molded with the Annie Casey Foundation. He was part of the first cohort in the New Jersey Juvenile Justice Commission when we began going inside of there and holding circles. He was amongst that first cohort and was amongst one of the first to parole and transition back into the community. Welcome, Yuri. Nice to have you here today.
I'm doing good. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right, man. It's good to be sitting with you. Like I always let you and the rest of the fellas know, anytime I get the chance to sit with you all, it's an honor and it's a pleasure. I get just as much out of sitting with you as you know, hopefully you get out of sitting with us.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself? And when I say a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from, you know, where you grew up, that sort of thing. A little bit about your background.
All right. So my name is Zaire Yuri. I come from the hard streets of Newark, New Jersey. I currently live in the state of North Carolina at this time. I just pretty much do what I need to do, do what I have to do. Yeah, I'm just a strong-minded person that want better for myself. Care about others as well as my journey, as I complete my journey, I should say.
Okay. Well, that's very nice. That all sounds fine and dandy, but why don't we let the people get a peek behind the curtain into who Yuri was before you started to make that transformation? Tell me a little bit about 10, 11, 12 year old Yuri.
Man, y'all ready for that?
I'm ready. Come on with it.
All right. Grab a chance and popcorn. It might be a horror movie. As growing up in the streets of Newark, it was kind of like rough, kind of hard, you know, dealing with poverty, gangs, drugs, prostitution. And I was immune to it because that's all I seen. And that's all I knew as I was getting older. It had took a toll on me because I started engaging in it aggressively. I was wound up getting sentenced to 10 years at juvenile media secure facility for a murder charge that I had committed when I was a young kid. It pretty much took a toll on me because I really ain't know what was going on. I just knew that I was going down. I was never coming home, you know, until the grace of God and the ability to change and do what I need to do. I'm successfully home now.
So, wow, those are some heavy charges to go away on. How old were you when you went to JMSF?
I was 13 going on 14.
And I heard you say you believed that you were going down, not just going down, but going away and never coming back.
Yeah. At that age, I was thinking like 10 years. Because when I heard juvenile life, I just thought it was like, all right, I'm going to be sitting. The anger and aggression that I came in getting locked up for, I just had that anger and aggression when I got sentenced because I just thought in my mind, this was going to happen. It is what it is. That's how I felt.
Yeah. And so you took that fuck it attitude into JMSF with you.
With it.
Mm-hmm. And so with that fuck it attitude, how did your life look in JMSF, you know, going through JMSF with that attitude? How'd that work for you?
For me, at that time, I had got an aggression. Like, I had got, like, satisfaction, like a drilling rush out of, you know, causing ruckus, especially because that's what I was always around. Like the gang I was part of, you know, that was just me all the way. So I was just that type of kid that I didn't give a fuck. anything means anything. So I had to do what I had to do. I had to press a couple of people I had to press. I had to get into a lot of shit that I wanted to get into. Yeah, it took a toll on me, though. It took a real big toll. The thing about it, back then, what I was doing a lot, like a lot. And I had no self-control.
What sort of a toll did it take on you?
You know, seeing people get hurt, people that had no business, you know, dealing with me got hurt. Just a lot of like officers got hurt. A lot of people got hurt. I was actually hurt myself, but I ain't really.
Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't something that was born in JMSF. It sounds like I heard you say you kind of grew up around that. That was a part of your life before you even went in.
Yeah, that was a part of my life at a young age where it definitely was. Because I wasn't that ordinary 13-year-old or 11-year-old, 12-year-old kind of kid where they just grew up riding bikes, going outside, going to school, you know, having opportunities to have a male figure in their life, or just even growing up with wealth. I ain't had none of that. To avoid seeing my mother struggling and stressing, I had to do what I had to do. You know, so that's what I came in at, that hunger and that aggression.
Sounds like you found coping mechanisms. You found ways to deal with the situation around you.
Yeah.
And then it carried on inside.
Mm-hmm.
So what got you to a point within yourself where you started to want something different from yourself, if you ever wanted something different for yourself?
I'll be honest with you, I always did, though. I always did. Growing up, I had an opportunity to play football. I found the love and the passion in that. Like I said, everything, all that changed once I stepped foot outside that door. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, everything changed for me. I always wanted good for myself. I always wanted to have a family, have a car, you know, just walk outside and don't have to worry about nobody, not have to look over my back. None of that. I wanted to live a normal life, normal adult or childhood life, but that was taken from me. It was because I put that on myself.
Yeah. So what did bring about the opportunity for change in your life? When did you start to step into that?
When I was incarcerated, you know, because I used to see a lot of people go home. Like, I could count numerous occasions, more than a handful. I seen a lot of people go home. And I always knew for myself when I first got in there, I'm like, damn. I see all these people coming home. I ain't coming home. So I need to figure the fuck out how the fuck I'm going to get home. I was hearing from a lot of people, a lot of staff that had their focus on me, you know, and nothing but me. I was always told, try to change your ways, you know, try to do things different. Stop repeating the same shit over and over and over. You know, you got to want better for yourself. At that time, I knew where to get the proper information and knowledge from. But the only way I knew it was going to work if I applied to my normal life, my normal day-to-day prison life. You know, that consists of me, you know, separating myself from my peers, taking full advantage of academic classes in there, picking up trades, just trying to do everything different than the next day, each day that I woke up. Focusing on myself and not my homies and not my peers or not what the next man doing or why he doing this or if we got beef with somebody or somebody had problems with one of my young boys. I have found ways to exclude myself from that. It took a toll on me because I seen that as I was separating myself from other people were separating themselves from me. The thing about it felt upset. I felt confused but upset a little bit. In a way, because like, I'm like, damn, I'm trying to separate myself so I won't get into bullshit. But you separating yourself from me because that I'm doing what I got to do and I'm not with the bullshit no more. So I just had to take life for what it was. I just had to take people for what it was. So once I seen that, instead of my homies or other people trying to encourage me to do good, I just knew for a fact that I had to exclude myself from them. So once I seen that they was doing that, it just gave me the green light to just focus on myself for the rest of my stay. That's what I did.
Yeah. So in a part of your stay, and where we met was sitting in Circle when Inside Circle was allowed to come in NJJC. And what was that like for you?
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I was supposed to be in there that day. I snuck my ass in there. A lot of people ain't trust me because they knew I was up to no good. Mm-hmm. So it was like I always told them I was going to do right, but then I never did right by them for them to say, all right, you know, let's give them a chance. You know, and at that time, you know, I was in a way of transitioning in my life. I was just coming out the box for like 3 months. And then when I heard about it, I was like, ah, right, that's something different. You know, and the only reason why I say it's something different because every motivational speaker or every person that tried to come in and try to talk to us, you know, I couldn't get that bond, that relationship because I couldn't relate because they couldn't relate to me. Yeah. And the only way I could relate to somebody if they could relate to me, you know, share the same thing that I've done or have done. And when I was told it was men from California coming down here, they little milestone in their life. You know, and they overcame that. So I was like, you know what? Put me in it. But they was always hesitant about it. So one day I seen it on a little memo on a sheet of paper. And I seen that y'all was supposed to come in. And that's the day I had snuck in there. And I seen what y'all was about. And from there, I just got in where I fit in that. And I just stayed in that program. And I just stayed in that group, that bond, that circle.
What was being in that circle and having that group and having that bond, what was that for you?
I'm not going to say like no father figure, nothing, you know, but y'all is kind of older than me, but you know, I don't look at it like nobody being older or nobody being younger. I just look at the experience and the mind and the vibes and the energy. So I seen that it was kind of different. And what made me attracted because everything that I had plans and set for myself or was trying to do for it to come out y'all mouth, for it to come out your mouth, Mr. Aaron mouth, and a lot of people mouth that was inside that circle with us, it was like, all right, so I'm getting somewhere. Because now, by them saying what I always wanted or always tried to do for myself, by them actually saying it, now I know for a fact it's real because you know, they actually done did it. You know, y'all, I know y'all practice what you preach. I know everything that, you know, from y'all experience and y'all life stories. And it was like, I want to do the same thing. I want to be the same thing. I want to go home. I want to work. You know, I want to have a family. I want to have a car. I just want to have a normal life. Mm-hmm. Y'all put in a better perspective than listening to other people that's only going to tell me half or tell me what I want to hear. You know, y'all ain't tell me what I wanted to hear. I just seen it, took the help, and I just went from there.
Yeah. And you've come a long way, baby. You've come
and
a long way.
I've come a long way. The tab is here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So when you think about transformation, in your life, obviously I hear that it started for you sometime into your sentence. What is it that inspired you to begin to make that transformation for yourself?
What encouraged me? It was a lot that encouraged me, you know. Just having, you know, somebody I could talk to, that I could relate to, and just somewhat of my family, like my immediate family, and my mom and my three sisters and my aunt. Like, I had certain people in my life and certain positions in my life to fit certain places. My mom was there for like love and support. Y'all was there for love, support, guidance, right from wrong. Y'all was there all across the board. Some stuff that, you know, a female can't teach. Some stuff that you have to learn or hear from another man, especially the ones that really care, that don't want to see you fuck up, that don't want to see you down. You know, the only way you could be down if you put yourself down. You get what I'm saying? So that encouraged me a lot. Like, it really did encourage me a lot because, like, it was to the point in my life where I was, like I said before, like, seeing a lot of people go home, it messed with my mind. Then seeing people go home, soon they come home, 2 weeks later, they either dead or a day later, they dead, you know, or they back in prison for doing double murder or something like that. So, like, by me feeling all shocked about it, in a way, I transformed it into, you know, motivation. That's when motivation came in for me, because it was like, all right, I see that everybody else having the opportunity to go home, but they fucking up because that's all they know, you know, that's all they know. Or it's just that they just don't want to learn. And I was like, so if I get an opportunity to go home, I got to be different from them, or then I'm become a statistic, the same old fuck up. Mm-hmm. And I ain't want to be no fuck up, you know, because that was never in my ambition in my life to be named as a fuck up. So once I took that as motivation, it was on from there. I just had to find out how I'm going to do things each day, how I'm going to be better and great about it. And I went on from there. And that was my encouragement.
Yeah. So now that you made it home, you got out and you moved to another state. What was that like for you?
It was a big culture shock for me. You know, just even stepping foot out of the prison. Like, I did 8 years strong. I ain't do no easy 8 years. You get what I'm saying? Like, for somebody to say they did an easy 8 years, you know, that's all small talk to me. I've been through it all. Just by me just stepping foot outside that gate, once that gate closed, it was just like, oh, I'm really home. Like, reality hit me. You know, priorities, responsibilities hit me soon as I stepped foot out that door. And it was just like, I can't fuck up now. I went this whole way to do everything good. You know, I put in my appeal. I got granted an appeal. I came home off my appeal. And then it was just like, you got to do it. It's either you don't, or you're going to wind up right back in here, or you're going to wind up there somewhere. So in a way, I was kind of scared, but in a way, I was kind of excited. But then it was just like, I'm confused. It was just all around. I was just shocked. I was scared. I was like, yo, what am I going to do now? I always kept saying to myself, what am I going to do now? And then certain things was put in place for me to achieve those. And then once I seen that I could achieve those goals, I'm like, all right, you know what? I just need to relax and calm down, just think this through. And that's what I did from there. You know, I came out of the state of North Carolina with intentions on just living my best life, working hard, be appreciative, you know, because I appreciate myself and I appreciate others every day just for allowing me to have the opportunity to be home right now. And it was just like, if I fuck up, it's like I'm failing myself. And I don't want to fail myself. I moved out here, just started knocking out all my obstacles because I came across some obstacles since I've been out here. And then I just overcame my obstacles, and I just feel like I'm the champ now because I achieved what I achieved and I worked hard for.
What's one of the biggest obstacles you've had to overcome?
Since I've been home?
Yes, sir.
Then I'm going to be honest with you, my anger. You know, my anger was my biggest obstacle, my biggest. And the only reason why I say that, because sometimes, you know, sometimes it's just like you always got to say something. And that always been me. I was always taught never bite your tongue. Always speak your mind. And if you feel as though, you know, always have your back against the wall and your chin up. I was always raised on that. So it was like, for me, I'm going to get you before you get me. And that plays a lot in my anger because I have a short temper for stupidity, ignorance. Just not sharing the same goal or mindset as me. So if I felt as though somebody didn't share the same goal or mindset as me, I just felt like they were just pulling me back. And I don't want nobody to pull me back because I want to keep moving forward. So I think my anger is my biggest obstacle.
So how have you been able to overcome that? What tools have you utilized to overcome anger so it doesn't trip you up out here?
I'm going to say the inside circle, to be honest, the inside circle. Because it was like, all right, be realistic. The walking away bullshit, it helps in a way, but then you got to be more realistic. If you walk away from the situation and a person keep coming to you in the situation, where it's like, you're not with the bullshit, but they with the bullshit. How can you walk away from that? So I had to learn how to diffuse the situation, communicate in a way where it's that, you know, not me kissing ass, but me just not entertaining, not with it. And I always looked at it like, if you could diffuse a situation, you got the best, you the man. You got ability that some others don't have. You know, some others don't have the ability to diffuse a situation or communicate in a situation where, you know, y'all both eating. And you got to always think. And I always thought before I always did anything. So, and another thing too was when I was in prison, it was this tool that stuck with me. It was called the stop think tool. It helped me out a lot. Always think before I do anything. And now to the point where it's like, if I feel like I'm getting angry, I'll mute myself. I'll stop myself and all in my tracks and everything. I stop and I think about, you know, the consequences, everything I could lose if I decided to feed in or jump on somebody's ass for no reason or just jump on somebody's ass, period, because they making me upset. I had to learn a lot about that. And I learned how to just move away from it, because if I don't, you know, a lot of things can happen to me.
Yeah. And can you remind our listeners once more how old you are, sir? Because that's some wisdom that's coming up out of your child.
Yeah, I'm 22. I'm a strong 22-year-old, real talk. Like I said, I had a rough childhood, but it was, to me, it was like the only thing that was stopping me from being who I am now. It was just like my neighborhood, my area. You know, a lot of kids at that age was getting knocked off, like for real. And it was just like, for me, it's just like, it just like felt like generation repeated itself. And I was, 11, 12 years old, thinking like that, you know, paying bills, you know. So it was just like, it was just hard for me. But I always, you know, had this thing, like what I wanted for myself when I got older, and to actually live it, how I wanted to be an adult. It's just like, damn. Your future relies on you. That's all it is. You know, if you put yourself to it, you can accomplish anything. You can amount to anything, you know. So that's how it was for me.
Yeah. So in that vein, if you can identify it, and if you have one, what's your greatest fear today?
My greatest fear is stopping being the person that I am now. And what I mean by that, I mean like far as, you know, like I said, you know, far as work related wise, far as being the man that I am today, I'm proud of myself. And my biggest fear is not doing that no more. Not being the man who I'm supposed to be, not being a man, you know, of his word, not being a man of integrity. You know, so that's where I'm at with that.
What would keep you from being a man of your word? What would keep you from being a man of integrity?
I don't know. Cause it's like, I don't want to say nothing, because it's always, all it takes is a split second for something to happen. You just gotta, you know what you're doing. It's just like, for me, it's just for like, I'm living my best life. Like, I don't go nowhere. I'm not in the mix. It's like, I don't know, man. It's kind of hard.
Yeah.
I just know for a fact that would be my fear. But that's probably what I gotta, you know, sit down with myself and figure out for myself, you know, why would I say that? You know, what's the reason behind me saying that? Because like I said before, that's what I believe. Like, you know, saying that, me stopping from doing everything I'm doing now. But only thing that can stop me from doing that is me. But the thing is, what is going to stop, what is going to trigger me to stop doing what I'm doing now? And that's the thing that I can only say, wait and find out. But that's the thing I don't want to wait and find out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to speak it to existence.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or as you would say, word.
Word. Word.
What, if you can identify it and you're comfortable, what is the biggest betrayal in your life up to this point? What's been the biggest betrayal in your life?
my biggest betrayal in my life. My biggest betrayal in my life. Oh no, you gotta come deeper with that with me. You gotta come deeper with that. Betrayal.
Okay, what's been the greatest hurt in your life? What's brought you the greatest pain in your life?
Biggest pain in my life. My biggest pain in my life is, well, that's kind of hard. Biggest pain in my life. I'm gonna say the biggest pain in my life, and this is just for all young adults that's up and coming and that's want to do good, that's having issues like far as family. I'm gonna say my dad. My dad is my biggest betrayal. And the only reason why I say that, I would say in my own words, for example, having a twin, you know, I do the same thing every day, focus on the wrong shit every day. But then just to overcome it and him not see me overcome that, that hurt me the most. I always tell myself, I'll never be like my dad again. But I always tell myself, I want to see my dad see me for who I am now. Because back in the day, he looked at me different because I ain't, you know, wasn't, I was on two sides, like on the opposite side of the train tracks. Mm-hmm. You know, and if anybody know what that means, you know, I ain't gonna say nothing. It says it right there, the proof is in the pudding. By me being on a different opposite side of the train tracks, I think that parted us away. And I can't even say it's my fault. You know, that's him being immature. But for him not to see me now, it hurts. Because like I said before, even though I don't want no satisfaction out of nobody, I just want the ones that told me that I was never going to be nothing, or the ones that told me that I was going to be dead. You know, I want them to see how I'm living now. I want them to see, I want them to feel how I feel now. And it's a great feeling. And it's not just having no animosity toward nobody or no hatred toward nobody. It's just that, you know, I feel for people now. At one point in my life, I didn't even care about nobody that walked past me. And I mean, like, literally nobody. For me to just have genuine feelings, just having a heart for another individual, it warms me. And I just want to have that with my father, that I'd never be like that.
Thanks for sharing that. If you could go back and sit down at the round table with 6-year-old Zaire, what would you tell him?
I probably wouldn't tell him that. I'd probably chip him up. Yeah. I'll probably get at him. And the only reason why I say that is because I got so much potential. Like, I had so much potential. Like, I found the passion to cook, you know, I found the passion to, like, love other people, you know, even when I was in love. So just to have those abilities, have certain coping mechanisms, certain coping skills, just having the ability to do right by myself and learn things as life go on. Because, like, I don't care what nobody say. And, man, I don't believe the smartest person in the world, but it's always good to have knowledge and wisdom, because wisdom and knowledge will always set the tone of the day. It will always set you for your greatness. I'm going to always continue to do that, because my ability to, you know, gain knowledge, learn things, learn how to deal with people, learn how to deal with people at work. You know, just learning how to, I'm not going to say be great, but be intelligent. Word.
Give me 3 things you're proud of yourself for today.
Just in general,
where you're at today, 3 things you're proud of yourself about.
I'm proud to say that, one, I work hard for everything I got. Nothing was given to me. Just having a family relies within me. Like, not no fake family that always want to gossip, talk about you, see he doing this, he doing that. None of that. All good, positive vibes and energy. Because my experience, what I overcame, for my family to see that, for my loved ones, for my girl, my mother, and everybody I love, see that, it's like, all right, you must have been taught the right way, or you must have learned something that got you like that, you know? And I always tell them what I've learned. I always show them what can you do different. If you could stop and pause in the heated situation and tell yourself, all right, what can I do different? You got the upper hand on the next person. You'll always have an upper hand on the next person. So I'm proud of that. I'm proud of having loved ones. And the last thing I want to say I'm proud of having people that I never knew to come in my life and guide me towards I wanted to be in my own little way. I'm proud of that. And the only reason I say I'm proud of the people that's in my life right now that came in my life 2 years ago, 3 years ago, is because, like I said, I never had that. And if y'all had never came in my life, I would have still been trying to figure it out, you know, in my own way. And no telling how long that's going to take. So for y'all to put it on the table, it was like, all right, you got this option, this option, this option, this option. Which one you going to take? Which one you think is best for you? Which one you think is going to fit you? Which one you think, you know, that's going to motivate you? How can we do this to get you there? And for me to have those options on the table, it was just like a pick and grab. All right, I need this one. All right, let me grab this, put that in my brain, let that marinate, you know, and then go on with the next one. So for me to have a whole bunch of options on one table, you know, I still got options. So you just got to swallow it and take it little by little.
Yeah, yeah.
So those are three things I'm proud of.
Yeah. And you've been doing it little by little since you came home.
Yeah.
You've been doing it little by little since you came home. And I would label you a real life success story. Someone who's taken ownership over his life and moved into a place of not just authenticity, but maturity.
And I want to say one thing, too. And the thing for me is, too, a lot of people say, oh, I was never proud to be in jail, or I never liked the jail. For me, it was the opposite for me. I was glad that I had the opportunity to slow the fuck down and go to prison. Like, no bullshit, for real. Like, because prison, everybody say how it always got this badge and, like, you can't overcome the system. I overcame that, mm-hmm. You know, and just because I was a juvenile, that don't mean a goddamn thing. That don't mean shit, because same way how adults can overcome that they did in their life and be a success story, a young person like myself said the same thing and overcame mine. And for me to be 22, doing it, living it up, you know, drawing my best life, being a general manager, you know, having my own car, you know, not having to worry about no cops, not having to worry about nothing, just providing for myself and my family. That's just the beauty. I'm really proud of myself, and I'm proud of others for believing in me. Because I'll be honest with you, I couldn't count on my hand when I had somebody to believe in me besides my mother, you know, and she was shaky about that.
You feel like you got people in your life who believe in you now?
I won't say believe. I got people in my life that's willing to fight for what's right for me. I got people that's willing to see me for who I am now, and not for what I used to be. Like, I don't hear what I used to be, what I was doing back in the day down. I don't hear that. I don't hear that shit at all. You know, unless if I bring it up. But just for people to see me for who I am now, it's just like, I don't gotta put on no, I don't gotta put on no ski mask, no nuts, you know, to have attention, you know, to draw attention. I'm drawing attention in a positive way, you know, conductive way. You know, productive way too. I'm doing it. And that's why I say I'm the heavyweight champion. Because for me to be 22 and doing it, I'm doing it. You know, like one of my mentors said, I get shots and props. They always tell me, can't stop, won't stop. You got to fight the fight till it's over. You know, and that's what I've been doing. I've been fighting the fight till it's over. And I ain't going to never stop. And that's just going to be me.
Yeah.
You know, hard working year.
Keep working at it, my young man. Keep working at it. You know, as we start to wrap up, what is one thing that we may not have covered that you'd like to leave our listeners with today?
you know, I just want, you know, and I'm gonna be, and this coming from my heart. I want people that's listening to me right now and that's listening to us men talk about my life and my success. And it was just other people that are sharing or that's seeing the stuff that I'm seeing in their life. You know, like I said, if you have willpower, if you are mentally strong, you know, you can overcome anything. And I just feel as though there's other people that's out there listening. I just want them to take the inside circle and follow it and see what it can help in their normal life. Because like I said, no person is full of knowledge and wisdom. Nobody can be full of that. You know, you learn something every day. Like we've been on plenty of meeting calls and circle time, and you know, you probably ain't know something and you just now figuring it out. Or I probably was thinking of it, but now for it to really come out, it's like, oh, I now I'm right. You get what I'm saying? So like, you know, just to have communication, support, and lots of knowledge to share with each other in the circle. It's a relationship, it's a bond. And I just think that people outside listening right now, I just think that they need to attract themselves and intent and figure out for themselves what they could accomplish. That's just what I wanted to say to everybody. You know, I love everybody. I love y'all. And that's it.
Thank you very much, sir. It's been an honor and a pleasure to sit with you like it always is. Every time you open your mouth, I learn something, brother.
I'm thankful for you, man. You know, you, Mr. Eldridge, don't sugarcoat not a damn thing. And that's what I like. I like for that male role to, you know, tell you where you slacking at and where you need to pick up at, you know, and how can you pick up on it? You know, how to breathe, how to, you know, slow yourself down from whatever and how to pick up on it. And you my witness. I had plenty of times where I felt as though I wanted to go back or do something that I wasn't supposed to do. And for just to hear from your voice and for me to acknowledge where it could go wrong at and come to a solution, it means a lot. Some people don't got that. Some people just going have people to tell them it's either you do it or you don't. Like, ain't no half stepping, you know, ain't no none of that. It's either you gonna do it or you don't. And in a way, you told me that, but you ain't telling me just do it or don't. You told me, all right, if you do it this way, now you know what you're gonna be at if you do it this way. Now, if you don't do it this way, now you know what you could achieve and what you could work on to prevent you feeling from how you feel or doing what you're doing right now at this point. You just laid there on the table from a lot of people laid on the table, young you, Murray, everybody. So for the ones that, you know, I highly like love and favor, y'all keep doing it because it's working. It really is. It's working.
Yeah. We're going to keep doing it, man. And you're going to keep doing it with us. You that next generation.
Yeah. Y'all just got to get me a belt and say, we're a champ.
You know? We work on that, man. We're going to see if we can get our listeners to put something together and get you a world champ.
World-class success.
World-class success. Yes, sir.
World-class success. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing some of your time with us today, Brother Yuri. It's been an honor and a pleasure. And I look forward to sitting in circle with you. What's today? Wednesday? I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow at 2:30. Be on time.
Be on time. Be there, be square.
Thank you for joining us at the Inside Circle Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and leave us a comment on iTunes or wherever you listen. Follow us on Instagram at @inside_circle and on Facebook at @InsideCircleOrg, all one word. Special thanks to the songwriter Rob Ricardo for his song, The Work. Join our mailing list and learn more about Inside Circle on our website at insidecircle.org. And remember, your truth will set you free.